The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, happy Trinity Sunday, everyone. My friends, the point of any theological reflection, in my opinion, is not merely to be caught up in a mystical trance, though quite honestly, those are a hoot, but it's not enough. In our theological reflection, we must also wonder how we are brought into the vision of God which we proclaim. Or in other words, how does our faith in God become active in the world around us? We live in a time when spiritual or religious beliefs are held close to our hearts. We don't readily share them, at least not in words. We're embarrassed if anyone brings them up. But what we might not realize is that our actions always betray what we believe. So with this in mind, I want to share a vision of God with you. It's the Trinitarian vision of God. And boy, oh boy, I want you to take up this vision of God with all your heart, with all your soul, with your mind, with your strength. And I pray, I really do, that this vision of God will inform and will empower your action in this world of ours. So with that invitation in mind, let's wonder about the Trinity. And let's do so by beginning with the first line of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Our Trinitarian vision of God begins with a God who creates, a God who brings life, which takes us to our first reading this morning, Genesis 1, that familiar ancient poem which stands in stark contrast to other visions of God at the time of its writing. Other gods in the ancient world created things accidentally or flippantly, even sometimes maliciously. Other ancient gods created out of a desire to control and manipulate. And do you know what? I don't deny that sometimes it feels like our world was created by just such a god. Those ancient peoples who wondered what God was like just looked around them and observed. Sure, they observed a world full of beauty and wonder, the starry sky, the stillness of the morning, the fresh colors of spring. But they also observed and experienced a world full of danger. The rush of a sudden flood, the violence of fire, the swarm clouds of locusts at harvest time, the gnawing hunger of famine, the constant cycles of war, the strong overpowering the weak. I mean, what kind of God, the ancients wondered, would make all this? Well, they concluded it must be a God who is self-interested, self-important, malevolent even, certainly unpredictable, and probably petty. I can totally understand their conclusions. Whenever I hear the banal banter of news analysts, whenever I observe the unjust structures that protect the few at the expense of the many, whenever I encounter senseless violence, hate, apathy, whenever I see the face of a child who is afraid, whenever I see human diversity used to divide, like in racism, or enslave, like in hidden glass ceilings, whenever I see human diversity used to malign or to hate, yeah, I can understand why our ancestors came up with that sort of God. I can understand why some people still do. But a self-interested, malevolent, petty God was not what our spiritual ancestors described in Genesis 1. Our spiritual ancestors, people who saw the same things as all the others around them, people who saw war, disease, famine, the indifference of those in power toward the poor, people who experienced cold nights and scorching suns, people who themselves were slaves and oppressed at the hand of the weaponized, they wrote a different poem, a poem Christians still write today about a God who brings life, light, harmony, goodness, and order. They wrote a resistance poem that even suggested that God even created all of this, not to hoard it, not to capitalize it, not to guard it, but to give it away as a gift to us. God created life to give it away, not to control it or manipulate it or keep it under the cosmic thumb, to give it away. That's why later on in spiritual history, someone was able to write a letter in which they described God as love. Love is the selfless giving away. God, the creator of heaven and earth, is love. Incredible. Unbelievable. What a vision of resistance in spite of the observed reality. Our spiritual ancestors gave us the gift of a vision of God that offers a new way to understand the difficult, disturbing realities we see every day. Those things aren't normal. They're abnormal. Goodness is normal. Yes, there are still some who hold on to the old gods because the old gods are powerful. People are still infatuated with wealth and health and fame and pleasure and power and control. People still imitate the old gods by manipulating, scheming, seizing, and destroying. But Christians, we have been handed an inheritance from our Jewish and Christian ancestors that frees us from those cycles and opens our understanding to a greater and deeper faith, summed up in this line: I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator and of heaven and earth. Resistance to overwhelming evidence contrary. Resistance in the face of violence and apathy. Resistance in the face of atrocious, vicious human behavior. Resistance in the face of unjust structures that set up to advantage some and keep others down. We hold the great Trinitarian vision of God before us. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe the foundations of this world are set in the goodness and graciousness of God. But dear Christians, we do not stop there. We cannot stop there, because even though we believe that the foundations of the world are good, even though we are steadfast in our faith in the Creator, we still do see the same things happening around the world that the ancients saw. We do see the abuse of power. We do see unequal distribution of creation. We do see ends justifying the means philosophies that dehumanize us and destroy us. We do see violence. And not only so, but God help us, we ourselves participate in it. Okay, maybe not intentionally, maybe not actively, maybe just passively, you know, just standing by while the world burns or while people suffer. We are implicated in this world. We see these things that mar and obscure the good foundation of the Creator, and so, because of the things we see and the things we do, we also believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in a liberator. We believe in a word of hope. We believe in a word of truth. We believe in the need for healing and the possibility of that healing. We believe in restoration and reconciliation. We follow the tradition of the great Hebrew prophets who proclaimed, even in their own violent times, that justice can and will roll down like a rushing river, that deserts will grow green again, that iron swords can and will be refashioned into gardening tools. Yeah, and we also follow the tradition of Mary, who envisioned the day when the lowly are lifted up, the hungry are filled with good things, and those abusers of power are cast down from their thrones. Yeah, and we believe in the hope of Christ, who though he was crucified, died and was buried, though he was squashed down like a nobody, was raised up by God, who then seated him at the control tower of heaven, ready to return to bring all our human behavior and experience to account. We believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because we believe God's future for the world is restoration, not abandonment, not hellfire. Our spiritual ancestors believed this too. And look at the impact of their faith in this world. Our spiritual ancestors saw disease cracking the foundation of the goodness God has made and said, they said, I believe in Jesus. And they discovered medicine and founded hospitals. Our spiritual ancestors saw violence threaten the order of God and said, I believe in Jesus, and developed law, especially law that protected strangers, widows, and orphans, those marginalized of society. Our spiritual ancestors saw unwanted babies exposed in garbage heaps and took them in as their own because they believed in Jesus. They faced famine, and instead of buying up all the toilet paper, yeast, and flour, they shared what little they had with those in need because they believed in Jesus. And as time rolled on, and the vision of God in Jesus grew, our spiritual ancestors eventually looked to slavery. They put two and two together and said, enough! They believed in Jesus. They eventually saw the violence done to women and children and said, this has got to stop. We believe in Jesus. And we continue their work. We continue to grow in our belief in Jesus. We notice others on the margins, like LGBTQ+ people, and acknowledge their humanity, their giftedness, and reflection of God. And we welcome them. We hire them. We marry them. We march with them. And today, our faith in Jesus is still growing. In this 2 steps forward, 1.5 steps back world, we are noticing yet again, God have mercy, we are noticing yet again that even though we are all God's beloved children, some of us are treated as 2nd, 3rd, 4th class citizens. Some of us are better off in the system, and some of us are dying in the system. We are remembering and insisting that Black lives matter, that Indigenous lives matter. In our Trinitarian vision of God, oh, I hope you make this vision central to your life. In our Trinitarian vision of God, we believe in God, the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe we can uncover the good, beautiful, and true foundations of the world. Our actions always betray our faith. Oh, but don't we get tired? Don't we get sick of the many steps back we seem to take in spite of the steps forward? Don't we get weary of confessing? Aren't we tempted to turn off the TV, turn off social media, turn off the voices that keep shouting? I do sometimes. But even though we get tired, we don't stop, and this is why. Because in the great Trinitarian vision of God, we also believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in that renewable breath of faith, hope, and love that sustains this world. We believe that if we wait on the Lord, our strength will be renewed, and we will mount up on wings like eagles and take our place again in the fight. We believe that the renewable energy of God is in us to keep us going. And that our perseverance, our resilience in the renewal of the world is a testimony to God's creative and redeeming presence in our hearts and our hands. We believe that though we are afflicted in every way in our work in this world, we are not crushed. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Are we perplexed at what's going on in this world? Dear God, yes. But are we driven to despair? No. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Are we persecuted and silenced for our radical inclusion of all God's beautiful children? Sure. But are we forsaken? Never. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Are we ever struck down? Kneeled upon? Can't breathe? Yeah, some of us actually are. But they will not be destroyed. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God keeps lighting fires in the hearts of God's children, giving them energy to keep saying no to the powers of the old gods. Those powers which seem so devastatingly strong, those powers of wealth, control, fear, and all the others which obscure the good foundations of our Creator. The Spirit of God inflames our hearts, and we will never stop resisting them and uncovering God's way of love and hope and faith. Friends, do not be deceived. Our actions betray what God we believe in. The world will not be able to help but call us God's beloved children because they will see it in our actions. They will see it in our eyes. So I dare you. Believe in the Trinitarian vision of God. Make it central to your life. And do you know what? If that's hard for you to do, at least act like you believe it. And go into this world baptizing it with the water of your love. Baptizing it with the water of your tears. Baptizing it with the water of your faith and hope. Baptizing it in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.